is out there, and that looks much better on my side. Tonight, it's I Wanna Believe here on the Podzilla 1985 Network. My name is Agent Shannon Young, secret covert spy for the Russians. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Tonight with me, we're here to find the truth. We've got Hunter, Double H.
Yes, comrade.
No! And
you said it, not me.
And comrade Calvert.
I'm out.
No.
Why does I think you mean we're out.
Yeah, I think we've been outed is what it is. Hey, really quick. It's going to be a short show tonight because due to a couple of things. Tanner had a house fire, not his. And Tanner, I was going to ask you, was everybody okay?
Yes.
That's good. Due to the Tanner's house fire and Call of Duty Black Ops and World of Warcraft Shadowlands, and I have to pick Lindsay up at 9 o'clock. We're doing a short show, so we're gonna get through this really, really quick. And
it is, for the record, 8:37 at this point in time.
And I gotta be like, go pick Lindsay up at like 9:05. So
yes,
it's gonna be about a 30-minute show. It is Thanksgiving week. We are going to be doing Podzilla play PZ85 plays tomorrow. It's the final episode of Star Wars: Dawn of Defiance Act.
That's right.
Is it Act One? Technically,
Act One. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Basically, the first arc. So, if this is multiple movies, or if you count it as like three movies, this would be just the first movie.
Okay. That wraps up tomorrow, and then I believe they're doing Pro Wrestling Unscripted. No Thursday show, and we will probably do Horse Time. Of only for the fact that Horse Time is the one show we can literally just go in with nothing planned. We don't have to be entertaining, and we just talk. So
yeah, I'll be around.
Very easy to do. With that said, I want to do a quick plug. My good friend Kevin Huntsberger over at My 1-2-3 Cents, he was gracious enough to have me on his podcast over the weekend that just dropped today. You can go to jitterymonkey.com/my123cents or just jitterymonkey.com. They got a good network over there as well. Now, is it Podzilla 1985 level good? Yes. Is it better? Yes. But that's only because I'm so bad at what I do now. But I'm a pretty good guest. You can go listen to me over there with Kevin. We talked about CCW. We talked about Stride. We talked about Podzilla 1985. Hunter, you got name dropped a couple times. So did Tanner.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, nice. I can't do this show without you guys. Dalton got named way too many times, but none of it good. So
that's the important thing. It's not about how many times they say your name. It's about the context.
Exactly. So again, that's jitterymonkey.com. Check out the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast with yours truly on it. With that said, let's dive into the unknown here on PZ85. And I had something that I wanted to talk about, and it's gone because I didn't write it down. I didn't research it.
That'll happen. Yeah, that'll do it.
It was just in my head, and it's gone. So instead, I'm going to turn the show over to Tanner to, or actually, I guess Hunter posted them in the group chat, to hit us up with one of these stories. If you fill me in on something real quick.
Oh, well, if it's going to me, then I know exactly what we're going to start with. And
let's
if you're looking
it.
At the headlines, it shouldn't take long to figure it out. We have something from the Aleister Crowley house. Aleister Crowley, of course, the sort of famous occultist, noted occultist from the 18th century. He had
the most evil man in history. I believe.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
Been called.
Yeah. Yeah. He had one of the things that he had was a box.
Okay.
And Shannon, I'm going to need you to pronounce it for me. If you haven't looked at the headline, it's spelled. Let me just drop it here in the Discord real quick.
Okay.
It's spelled like that. Can you pronounce that for me, please?
Dibbik. I think it's
okay. That was great.
Dibbik.
We did the bit.
We did the bit. The bit is done.
Okay.
It's one of my all-time favorite bits.
It's a classic.
Legitimately. I don't know why it tickles me so much, but I will go back. I can listen to the original of just Dibbik. Anyway, a Dibbik box, one of the things that Crowley had in his mansion, the Bullskin House in Voyer, Scotland, is allegedly discovered under the floorboards there. This place is on the southeast side of Loch Ness, and in the footage, they filmed themselves opening it. It was like an unboxing video, you know, as you do. Only this one did not have a Series X or a PS5 inside. It had a doll made out of human hair, some coins, a dried flower, and a creepy sketch. Which you can actually sort of see in the little the little thumbnail here. I'll send this real quick.
Wait, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on.
There's the creepy sketch.
So I'm looking at the sketch. Am I the only one that sees it?
What?
Is that not Bat-Ghoul or whatever from his
Yeah,
Sinister?
It looks like it. Looks That's a lot like
straight
it, yes.
I mean, he looks better because that was the dumbest looking thing.
Yes.
But that's pretty creepy, and the fact that he had one hidden under, you know, the floorboard of his house is, I don't know, I didn't know the man, but that's a very Aleister Crowley thing to do.
Yes. Yeah, if you skim through the video, it's not that long. Well, it's like 20 minutes long. It's too long to do, like, right here in the moment, but it doesn't take terribly long, I guess, to watch it overall.
The little voodoo doll is a little creepy.
The voodoo doll was pretty creepy, especially considering it's made with human hair. I think I mistakenly earlier said out of human hair. It just incorporates some human hair.
It looks like it's burlap with human hair sewn into it.
Yeah, that's what you want. It's what all the kids are craving for Christmas this year.
I'm going to be honest.
If you haven't gotten one
yet,
I don't know how you're going to get it.
Looking at this, though, kind of reminds me of the witching boxes that you would find in old New England homes. Basically, there were boxes.
Like the protection boxes?
Yeah. Basically, yeah. A family would think that they've been cursed by a witch, and so they would make this box. And some of the things that you would find in these boxes were ridiculous. There was a wine bottle that was found in one that...
is ridiculous.
Well, I mean, let me get to it. When you open it up, you get a strong smell of wine. So they tasted it. And they said it had a really, really, like, it was soured wine, is what they said. So they sent it off to get tested, and not only was it wine, but it was wine, human fingernails, hair, and human urine mixed with wine. And they just blindly drank it.
Isn't that R. Kelly's new brand?
Oh. Which, Hunter? Hunter,
why did he go, oh?
Oh.
Daddy. He hits you like you hit him with that daddy.
Daddy.
Daddy. Anyway, Hunter, you would recognize that story from
lore.
From lore. Yeah. It was a great story.
Yeah, as you were mentioning that, I knew that sounded vaguely familiar. You said wine bottle, and I was like, where is this going? Yeah, I do remember that. There's also a new episode of that this week I have not gotten around to.
It was good.
It does kind of resemble that same idea. But anyway, yes, Aleister Crowley has a Dybbuk box.
Dybbuk. So with that said, I think we should mention that whether you were a fan of the show or not, and it's not technically real, but it is very, very important to the paranormal community and a lot of people that are into ghosts like it. Supernatural wrapped up its series last week with its final episode. I didn't watch it because I am about 6 seasons behind at this point, but I did read the ending because I did want to know how it ended, and it seemed like a really good ending, like legitimately a good ending. It ticked all the boxes.
I guess.
Did you not like it?
Look, I have not actually, I haven't watched it. All right. Precursor to all of this. I have not actually watched the episode. And I also never made it past season 3 of Supernatural, so I am no Supernatural expert, don't get me wrong. But the internet is decidedly not happy with it. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm fully aware the internet is not happy with basically
most things, right.
But a big problem they had with it actually came before the finale. This whole thing with Castiel and
yes.
Sam.
Yes. No, Dean.
Yeah. Or Dean, yeah, Dean. Yeah. See, this is why I don't talk about these things.
So, all right. So, I don't think this is too much of a spoiler. Skip ahead like 30 seconds because I'm going to mention it real quick if you haven't seen it. So, the big deal was they were happy that they finally and Lindsay, if you're listening, skip ahead about 30 seconds to a minute because I know you don't want to hear this because you haven't seen it yet. They finally confirmed, is what the internet is saying, the Castiel-Dean-Winchester romance, because in his final moments, Castiel told Dean that he loved him. And Dean said, you know, this sounds like a goodbye. And he says it's because it is. But to me, that does not equal romance. Like, I don't get where people were getting the, oh, he's clearly admitting he's in love with him. That I tell my guy friends I love them all the time. Like,
I think the bigger issue beyond that, and I know what you're saying. I get what you're getting at. But I think the bigger issue was more just that Castiel, from the way I read it anyway, because I read the dialogue, goes all in on this, like, super heartfelt, this is it. And Dean sort of responds like he's Chad from SNL. Cool. Like he doesn't really emote in any way from the way I understood it. And then in the next episode, Lindsay keeps skipping ahead. In the next episode, Dean just dies, yep. and then gets to go to heaven with his car, and meanwhile the gay guy, potentially gay, allegedly, goes to super hell forever.
Well, okay, like, they do clarify, apparently in the episode, they don't flat out say it, but it's heavily hinted that Cassio would be joining him in heaven. But they didn't say it flat out. I'd have to go back and check it, but from what I understood is they did say that Cassio would be joining him in heaven. So I'm hoping that's okay. true. I need to check that out for myself.
I was going to say, that's new information to me if that's the case. Because, again, from what I read, they very much made it sound like, well, he's just gone forever, and at least Dean and his car get to go to heaven. Because that was actually the line that I had seen yesterday was, look, let's not pretend that car is going to heaven, but gay people going to super hell is not a very strangely, uniquely American idea. And it was yeah. like, oh, that's painful, but yeah, you're not wrong.
We also have some breaking news that Tanner just put in the group chat that famous actor David Hemblen has passed away. Now, you might be, not to be rude, but you might say, who is David Hemblen? And Tanner just posted in there, I remember him most as the voice of Magneto in the X-Men animated series. By the way, the best, I mean, his voice for Magneto was just on point, man. Magneto, I always thought Magneto sounded awesome back in that show. Yeah. But he was in a bunch of other stuff. He's an English-born actor. He was 79. I don't see what he passed away from, but he was in a lot of, especially to the science fiction community. He was in Short Circuit 2, which is one of my absolute favorite series of like family-friendly sci-fi films. So, very sad. Thank you, Tanner, for always doing this to us. We appreciate it, but
I'm sorry.
We'll talk more about it. Well, no, we won't, and Jesse won't, because they don't cover sad news. Let's just move on with this next story. Tanner, your turn. You tell one now, and I'm just responding to them today.
Okay, and I don't know how to pronounce this. I'm going to be completely honest with you.
UFO.
I believe that's pronounced UFO.
UFO.
Well, gobble, gobble. God
gobble,
damn.
Gobble, gobble, god. Okay. Much to the profound dismay of astronomers and space enthusiasts around the world, the famed alien hunting, I'm gonna assume it's Arecibo?
Arecibo, that's what I would say, yeah.
Telescope in Puerto Rico has been decommissioned due to damage sustained from the site over the last few months. The unfortunate announcement was made today by the NSF, the National Science Foundation, which oversees the 57-year-old observatory. The decision, they explained, follows a review of engineering assessments that found the damage to the Arecibo Observatory cannot be stabilized without risk to construction workers and staff and facility. And I'm going to be honest with you, I can understand that looking at the picture of this place.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's horrifying. Yeah. If you're afraid of heights, this thing will give you the chills just glancing at it.
Now, without reading ahead, this is the facility that's been sending... It's one of the facilities has been sending signals out in space, correct?
I'm going to be honest with you. I literally only know this facility from one thing. And do you know what it is without me even reading the story?
It's GoldenEye.
It's GoldenEye. This is the giant satellite dish from GoldenEye. That's all I know this from.
Yep.
Yeah,
as soon as I saw it, I knew exactly that's where it was from.
And that alone is worth talking about to me, because that is one of the most iconic locations in the entire James Bond franchise. GoldenEye happens to be my favorite James Bond movie, as Asa well knows, because Pierce Brosnan is my favorite James Bond actor, as Asa well knows and disagrees with.
I mean, that's the correct answer, but...
Well, thank you. Glad we agree on something finally. You know who Dalton's favorite James Bond is?
It's Daniel Craig. That's the only one he knows.
Oh. That's I was gonna make a George Lazenby joke, but no one would get it, so yeah, let's just go with that.
Including Dalton himself.
Yeah. Right.
Apparently it was also used in Contact.
Yeah, but that movie sucked.
You know.
That was one of the most... No, okay. Look, the facility is breaking down. I want to carry this over because I need to get something really quick. The apparent fatal blow to the telescope was the snapping of a support cable earlier this month, which followed a similar incident back in August. With those two critical pieces of infrastructure removed, the NSF said that the telescope structure is in danger of a catastrophic failure and its cables may no longer be capable of carrying the loads they were designed to support. And alas, attempts to enlist construction workers to fix the damage would expose them to potentially life-threatening danger. They're hoping to decommission it, but warned that their careful work could be thwarted due to the unstable nature of the site, and it very well may collapse in the not-too-distant future. With that said, Contact is a boring boring film that I watched when I was younger, and I really wanted to like it because I love Jodie Foster. And I think, wasn't Matthew McConaughey in that too?
Yeah. I mean, let me save you some time. All that time, and it turned out it was her father.
Oh, like, my God.
Ugh.
I was so disappointed in that film. I was so excited with it. And, like, it's what you could say about it is it's a really smart movie. Like, if you want a smart sci-fi movie, this is for you. The problem with that is that the smarter a sci-fi movie is, the more boring it becomes.
And the less watchable it is, like, multiple times. You're not going to rewatch, like Interstellar. Nobody has ever watched Interstellar more than one time.
I've never watched it one time.
You're not missing much. It's fine. To be honest with you. We saw it, and it sure is.
I will say this about this story, though. This is one of those projects that's been out there trying to prove extraterrestrial life, and it's going to put a hurt on the project, on the research itself, because it's one less thing out looking. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that, but I mean, we've been sending out these signals for so long and have gotten so little back. In the way of a reply.
Apparently, stuff's been coming back now. We're starting to get signals from deep space.
Until we get something concrete that is, like, legitimate, something that we can decipher and really, you know, take it as something reaching out from another planet, galaxy, or whatever, I'm not holding my breath. I don't think we'll ever see it in our lifetime, at the very least. The length that takes these things to go back and forth, short of their technology being so advanced... Way more advanced than ours. But who's to say that it is? You know?
Okay, so real quick, I just happened to look over. I'm still on the Coast to Coast website. I just happened to look over for the upcoming show for tonight. Science of Synchronicity and President Eisenhower and the Aliens. Friend of the show, Paul Blake Smith, is going to be on Coast to Coast tonight.
Yeah, that's our buddy.
Oh, yeah, Eisenhower. As soon as you said that, I was like, why does that sound familiar?
Yeah. While you're doing that, I looked up the movie Contact.
Oh, why would you do it?
And I wanted to see who else was in it. It's got such a good cast, man. Tom Skerritt, William Fichtner, John Hurt, David Morris, James Cuckoo Woods, Jake Busey, Angela Bassett, Rob Lowe. How could you screw... Oh, my God. But
Jake Busey?
The one that caught my attention, though, is Jenna Malone. Tanner, hit that crush button.
Wait, does Tanner not have time? That kid had to be like three.
Yeah.
What? At what point?
At Contact.
When Contact came out?
No, dude, she's 36.
Hang on.
She's 36 and Contact came out in 97. That means she's 2 years younger than me. That means if I had a crush on her, that was legal and it was fine.
Okay. Yeah.
84 to 97, she would have been 13.
I was 15. That's a little weird.
Only a little.
It's only a little. It's only 2 years.
It came out in 97. That means they were filming it before that.
Well, I didn't say I had a crush on her when she was in Contact. I had a crush on her in the movie Sucker Punch. She was in that, right? She was. That was a terrible film.
Go watch her in Hunger Games.
That also a terrible film.
I meant what I said.
They're terrible movies.
Go watch her in Donnie Darko.
Kind of a terrible movie.
Or if you don't tell Ryan that, he is obsessed with it.
Well, that doesn't mean it's good.
If you want to see her,
I really liked Hot Rod. I wouldn't call that a great movie.
If you want to see her in a really good film, to me anyway, and it's a horror film, so it fits. The Ruins. Also, just a quick update: Maria just sent me a message that says I love Sucker Punch. Of course she does.
I mean, Sucker Punch was a decent movie.
If Dolly Parton had done the soundtrack for it, it would be her favorite film of all time.
I think you're thinking of Code of Many Colors. That's that one.
She was also in The Neon Demon, which was good. Anyway, let's move on.
Dolly Parton was in The Neon Demon?
No.
No.
What's happening?
Oh,
what's happening?
I wish Dolly Parton was in The Neon Demon.
She might have been. You don't know.
Oh, my God. I don't think Dolly Parton's ever done a horror film. I'm actually curious now.
Yeah, she did The Best Little Horror House in Texas.
No!
That was a horror film.
Oh, God.
Still Magnolias.
So, true story. I looked up Dolly Parton horror film, and the first reply is The Best Little Horror House in Texas.
I just said it.
We're not talking bad
about
Dolly.
You didn't have to look up anything.
That movie also had Burt Reynolds.
Oh, you just got caught. I heard that one.
I didn't get caught so much as I'm louder than I meant to. Anyway.
So Jenna Malone's upcoming movie, The Tuna Goddess.
The Tuna Goddess.
Oh, still... that's no, too easy. Shannon, move on.
Okay, thank you.
I know, low-hanging fruit, but... Yeah.
All right,
Shannon. Also too easy. Shannon, you have less than 10 minutes to wrap this show up.
Yeah, Tana, get on the next story.
No, it's you.
Oh, it's me? Okay, I'll do the next one then. I'm doing the next story. I already had it open. Give me 1 second.
Sure you did.
All right. And this was right up my street next to the house. In a worrisome incident that unfolded in the skies over England, a Boeing 737 nearly collided with an unidentified flying object that came within 10 feet of the airliner. The troubling event occurred back in September and came to light this week by way of a report issued by the UK Airprox Board, which is a government organization that investigates aircraft near-miss cases. According to their filing, the strangeness began when the airliner was approaching Leeds Bradford Airport, and, quote, both pilots suddenly saw a bright light and an object which appeared to be moving towards the aircraft, almost head-on, slightly up and to the left. Back and to the left.
Back
and to the left. Chillingly, the report goes on to state that the object appeared without warning and there was no time to act. But as luck would have it, the airliner managed to avoid colliding with the UFO, which passed the craft by a mere 10 feet. The pilots promptly reported the incident and subsequently landed safely without any further weirdness. Although the in-flight movie was terrible, I heard it was Contact. Upon their arrival, air traffic controllers informed them that a police helicopter had previously reported seeing lanterns in the area. However, intriguingly, neither of the pilots believed what they saw was a lantern. This actually reminds me of something else that I did want to mention. So one of my favorite YouTube personalities is Brian Tyler Cohen. I don't know if you guys watch him at all.
That name sounds really familiar.
He does. He's all political. He's extremely political. That's all he covers as far as I know. But he did a story last week on Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson, you know, from Fox News. He's the clown. And... Yes. He was talking about, I forget the woman's name, but it's one of Trump's dogs, and she's a lawyer or something, and she's one of the people spearheading this whole conspiracy about the votes being flipped and Hugo Chavez and stuff like that. And even Tucker Carlson went on the air and said, we tried to talk to her, we tried to get information about it, we wanted proof, she wouldn't give us any, and he kind of went off on it, and Brian Tyler Cohen mentioned this, but one of the things that he said... that Tucker Carlson said was when this woman said these things, which are crazy, we didn't discount them. We don't discount anything anymore. We want to hear it. We want to, you know, talk about it. Conspiracy theories, interests, et cetera, et cetera. And he said, we even dedicate segments of our show to UFOs, which he really does. I've seen more than one segment posted from the Tucker Carlson show where they talk about UFOs and he treats it with respect, which I know I don't like Tucker Carlson either, but I do appreciate there are some people in the media who treat these subjects with the respect that they deserve to be treated with. But then Brian Tyler Cohen pointed that out about how crazy it is, you know, basically that they talk about UFOs and use that almost as an example of see how crazy he is. He even talks about UFOs. That just proved to me, and I just wanted to mention this, that no matter how far we come with this, no matter how much evidence we have, no matter how important this is, whether you believe they're extraterrestrials or they are foreign agencies or whatever, that there are still so many people, respectable people, who will laugh at you and make fun of the fact that you give it any attention at all. And I think that's sad that in 2020, after everything that we've learned in the past couple years about UFOs and the government's interest in them and stuff like that, how sad it is that we are still stigmatized like this. It bothers me because I really like the guy, but this really bothered me. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that. It made me sad. This is a good story. It's something that needs to be explored forever and a day. Anyway, we don't have a lot of time. Yeah. Let's move on to the next story.
One more to go. There's one more that we want to throw at Howard. So speaking of things that need to be explored, Lyle Landley appears to have made it. No, wait, that was monorail. This is all about monoliths. A helicopter survey of Bighorn sheep out in Utah led to, it says, an unexpected discovery of a mysterious monolith that has suddenly appeared planted in the ground. This was this past Wednesday. The Utah State's Division of Wildlife Resources was working on their creature count that they do every year, and then they found this thing. I've dropped it in the Discord. It is a 10 to 12 foot tall rectangular metal object that is not dangerous but is undoubtedly mysterious. The team observed it did not look like it had fallen from the sky, instead was planted in the ground. They initially suspected it might be connected to NASA, like a means of contacting satellites or something, because it's very strange to find this thing just sort of out in the middle of nowhere. Ultimately, it appears to be some kind of artwork rather than a scientific instrument. It doesn't appear to actually do anything. The monolith is still in place for right now, but the group has opted not to reveal the exact location because basically they don't want thrill seekers going after it and them not to be fully equipped and then have to get rescued, because evidently it is pretty far out there in a space that is not meant to just be hung out in regularly. I think probably the best thing at this point is that we make sure no monkeys with bones get anywhere near it. if they do, then it's all over.
Tanner's still trying to...
And the next 2.5 hours will not make sense.
Tanner's still trying to find that episode.
What?
Nothing. Don't worry about it.
Never mind.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
It's fine.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of, to a lesser extent, crop circles. And how the big belief was that the crop circles are just art projects or, you know, faked. But, like, man, I've seen some of those art, those crop circles, and to tell me that some random, you know, Fuddrucker farmer was out there doing that with, you know, with a lawnmower and a Yeti cooler, I can't believe it. I just can't believe that that's true. But I think
we get too hung up. I know we've got to go, but to speak to crop circles for a second, I've never talked about these on this show. I think we get too hung up in the idea that they all come from one place. I think it's very easy to believe that, yeah, one or two of them or several of them, whatever, were made by people who were going out with, you know, some sort of instrument to push the stuff down. But there's no way that's been the correct answer every single time since they started happening hundreds of years ago. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that that means that they're definitely extraterrestrial either. I just think there's probably more than one possibility there. At the very least, it's not the same guy or not the same group or whatever. They're happening in too many different locations and too many different ways. There's more than one thing happening there.
I truly believe that they're not extraterrestrial in origin, because what would be the point? I've heard people have said, oh, they're communicating with us, and they're doing this as a way of communication. This is maybe their language or something like that. But, I mean, to me, it just looks like a bunch of different symbols and squiggles. So the only thing that I can figure out is if it is extraterrestrial in origin, is that this is the equivalent of tagging a wall. These extraterrestrials are coming to Earth. They're just graffitiing our farms. And they're laughing their asses up there, Tanner. They're green asses and gray asses, depending on what you believe in. Because we're down here trying to decipher what they're writing, and they're just laughing because to them it's just like, you know, tagging, you know, butt on a wall in red letter.
Yeah, that's how you do graffiti, butt.
You put butt on there.
Well, they can laugh all they want, but when they need our socks for fuel...
We won't give them to them.
We're not going to give them to them. Not this time.
Yeah, we did that once in the 90s, and... They didn't even take the redhead for their intergalactic zoo. Tanner.
Uh-huh. Tanner, can you hear us?
Tanner, that's a throwback to Friday.
It's true.
He's done.
He's out. I think he fell asleep.
We've taken this project that he loved so much, and we've turned it into a circus show. This is the weenie in the butt version of I Want to Believe.
And the butt is written in red on a wall in spray paint.
I'll tell you what we need to do, Tanner. We need to find these UFOs and start spray painting things on them. You know?
Back.
We need to spray paint. What is he posting in here?
She's going to flip me off. Yeah, there it is.
Look at that. Look at that little girl.
You knew
girl.
It was coming. Yeah. Well, gobble, gobble.
Look at the little girl flip people off. All right.
Yeah. I keep going back and listening to that opening. God.
It's a classic. All right, so.
It is.
If you don't usually listen to Horse Time, but you want to have a good laugh this Thanksgiving, or, you know, be really awkward, go back and listen to this past Friday's show. Tanner, Hunter, and I did a wonderful skit about the spirit of Thanksgiving that we think you'll find turkey-licious.
Which you wrote, for the record. Give yourself some credit.
I did write. I'm one of my favorite things about Horse Time is that I get to, you know, stretch my legs a little bit and... do some writing, which is a lot of fun for me, even though, as Tanner said, you can see a pattern in the things that I create. They're very self-harming and a little awkward and depressing, but you know, that's life, man. That's life. Like Dean Winchester would say. Cool. I don't think he ever said that. All right. With that said, sorry it's such a short episode. We wish we could stay longer, but situations have forced us to cut this a little bit short tonight. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another I Want to Believe, though, and I'll tell you what, we'll do a 3-hour show that time. We'll stretch it out real far.
Yeah, we'll make it.
I've got something to do that night.
What is it?
A 3-hour episode of I Want to Believe.
Yeah.
No, it's
the December special.
Yeah. We're going to call it a December to Remember.
Yeah, that always turns out well.
Again, tomorrow, we've got an all-new episode of PZ85 Plays. It's the last episode of the Dawn of Defiance, Queen of Air and Darkness. It's the end of the first act. Now, when we go to Act 2, will it still be called Dawn of Defiance?
Yes. Yeah, Dawn of Defiance is the name of the overarching campaign, and then each of the little individual episodes have, of course, their own names. It just, there's no name for each act. So Dawn of Defiance covers all 10 episodes, all 3 acts. The next episode, I don't want to give it away because I mentioned the next episode. I'm going to mention the next episode at the end of, we said it on the show, nobody, they're going to find out. We already recorded it, so.
Yeah.
But I mentioned the name of the next episode at the end of tomorrow night's show. So you got to stick around all the way to the bitter end to find out what's going on and to find out when we will be back. That may be some news to some listeners. The show continues, but Dawn of Defiance is going to take a little break after Act 1 just for a brief period of time, and so pretty soon you'll find out too what's going to be going on there.
Yeah, we're doing some reshoots. You know, some of the CG wasn't great. We had a puppet in there for one of our Yaddle makes a special appearance, but we decided to do CG instead. So
there was some guy in the background wearing jeans and a t-shirt, seeing like half of him. So
didn't make any sense, honestly.
It was actually me.
But well, you were taking Parker out,
right? You know? Yeah, you had to go out.
But I will say this about tomorrow night's episode. It is spectacular. Like, what a way to go out. It is it is legitimately nail-biting.
Somebody almost legit went out.
Yes, it is. It's nail-biting. Like, seriously, when we were recording it, we were all on the edge of our seat, so we hope you guys enjoy it. Wednesday.
You can decidedly hear a point in time where I'm going, oh, well, this is just the end, then. This is it.
You can hear when the fun stops, because we were killing it in the beginning, and then, boy, did it turn.
Was killing something.
Like a presidential election, it just turned because they found all these extra TIE fighters. It was crazy.
No.
Wednesday, Pro Wrestling Unscripted, they're going to cover Survivor Series. That was on Sunday, believe it or not, because I forgot. And then, again, Thursday, we're off for Thanksgiving. Friday, we're back with a special turkey time. It's going to be a lot of fun. Until then, we're out of here. You guys, make sure you have a good week this week. This is the last time we will actually talk to you before Thanksgiving, because tomorrow was pre-taped. So we hope you guys have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We love you very, very much. And while you're out there enjoying all that food and your family, make sure you continue, always, to watch the schemes.
Yeah.
Later.